think we could all agree that today has been a marvelous day in the kingdom of heaven, and that we've all been fed and filled. And I like to be fed and filled. It causes us to rejoice. This is something that is not really of this life, is it? But it is that which God has blessed us from another world. It's like cold waters to a thirsty soul. It's good news from a far country. And the good news is from heaven. It's from a far country. Brother E.W. said that he was a water boy. Well, I'm just a little news boy. Saying, read all about it. I don't make the news. I just bear the news.
Amen.
Some preachers might think they make the news, and they might, but it's not good news. But bear the news. What is the news? It is Jesus is victorious. He's the champion. And that's who we want to consider for a little while as I stand before you. Thank God for all these sermons that have preceded, these messages that have been forcefully preached and conveyed to your soul. I want to begin this evening in the book of Isaiah, chapter 33 and verse 20. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. I want to consider tonight this city of our solemnities. I believe we're in this city tonight.
Amen.
Looking upon it. And of course, in order to be able to look upon this city, must have eyes. And those eyes must be open. Now, there's children of God that has eyes, but they are blind. But I'm thankful tonight that I have eyes that are open, and that the eyes of my understanding has been opened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the glory of His riches. I'm thankful that I have eyes whereby that I'm able to see and to behold and look upon Zion. Zion, time would not permit tonight, nor would it be expedient to travel through the Scriptures and quote all the Scriptures that mention Zion. But the psalmist David, in Psalm 48, he says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. O beautiful for situation, joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion." He says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." Where is God greatly to be praised? In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. It is beautifully situated. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. So in Zion we see something that you cannot behold here on the outside. Even in nature, you can't behold this beauty. The psalmist David, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." He says, "I desire this. This one thing have I desired." And that's the desire of my heart. And I believe it's the desire of your heart tonight to live in the house of God. To be not only a spectator in the city, not only a visitor to the city, but live in the city. Because God has blessed His people to be inhabitants of this city. Now, this city is high up on a mountain. It is not down in the valley, but it's high up on a mountain. It is the house of our God, the mountain of His holiness. Oh, the holiness of God is another subject. But I believe that God is holy and that there is no iniquity in Him. There is no sin about Him. His eyes are so pure that He cannot look upon sin or iniquity. We have come tonight to worship a holy God, a God that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. And He has promised also to dwell with those that are of a contrite and humble spirit. You want God to dwell with you tonight? Then you must be of a humble and contrite spirit. In order for God to dwell with you and be with you and feel His presence, you must be of a humble and contrite spirit. The way up is to God is down with ourselves. We must humble ourselves. We must be converted. And as a little child, in order to appropriately and properly worship this God tonight. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, consecrated, dedicated to the worship of God. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle. It's described as a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. This is a tabernacle that won't be taken down. I believe that it teaches the perpetuity of the church. That the church will continue until Jesus returns. Somewhere the church will be upon this earth when the Lord Jesus returns. For this tabernacle shall not be taken down. This is a tabernacle that will not be destroyed. This is a tabernacle that shall not be left to other men. The tabernacle in the wilderness was taken down and moved. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though she has migrated from one country to another, yet she has been in existence for some 20 centuries. Ever since the Lord Jesus Christ set her up here in this world, the tabernacle has been moving, the tabernacle is existing, and the tabernacle has not been taken down. It's no such thing as the faith dying out and then being revived. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints has been cleaved to by the church, and the church has been built upon that faith, the whole body of truth. All the principles that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ cleaves to and holds dear to her heart. These tabernacles that are spoken of in the Bible, the tabernacle of the Lord shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. And the stakes in the that oppose this tabernacle tonight, I believe that we can find in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Somebody said, "Brother Danny, you can't preach unless you go to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans." Well, I got news. They can't either. Unless you mention some of these principles, you may not quote the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. But if you preach the gospel, you're going to have to mention these principles. You're going to have to establish them in your preaching. And these stakes that shall never be removed, they will never be removed. This is what holds the church of the Lord Jesus. This is the foundation of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul breaks out by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. I believe that's a stake, don't you? A stake, brother, to never be removed. For whom He did foreknow. The special and intimate, everlasting, eternal love of God for His people, even before the foundation of the world. That's a stake that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can drive that and continue to rest upon that. That God chose His people in Christ. And the reason that He chose them is that He loved them. You can go back as far as God. And it's from all eternity that He loved His people.
Amen.
That's a stake. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Another stake, isn't it? Not only did He foreknow them and elect them, and that foreknowledge, by the way, is a branch of His omniscience. You see, God knew everyone, but He didn't foreknow everyone. That is special. That is particular. And just, well, I'll say every time, the word is mentioned, it embraces persons. Persons. The Apostle Peter says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Persons. Elect. Not only did He elect us in Christ, but He also predestinated us to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that'll be consummated in glory. Conform to the image of Christ. And then Paul says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. I believe that's another stake, don't you? Called. The Church of Jesus Christ believes that God calls men from death to life. We contend, according and based and predicated upon God's Word, which is infallible, that God does this by Himself. He does not use preachers. He does not use churches. He does not use angels. He does not use agencies. He does this by Himself. It is irresistible. When He calls, it is effective. And when He speaks, it is done. When He speaks, He imparts life. And that life is eternal. This calling was prearranged before the world began. This calling was predetermined before the foundation of the world. That God prearranged and designed beforehand when He would call every heir of promise sometime in their life. God prearranged this, and it will be brought to pass by the work of the Spirit in the lives of men when He shall raise them from death and sin to life in Jesus Christ. This is an immediate work. This is an effective work. This is a sovereign work. This is a perfect work. This is a work that will not have to be done over because God does. God works the work. And God performs the operation. And it is a success. Our God is a success in everything that He does. But when He calls, men will be quickened or they will be resurrected from the dead. I call that a state. And also, I believe that we must hasten across country now. You know, when I take a text, I like to go cross-country all the way to Calvary. I want to head cross-country to the cross. I want to take you to the cross of Calvary. not to an empty cross, but to a prince that is dying upon a cross, to a man that is hanging upon a cross, but not to a defeated Christ, but to a triumphant Christ, one that knew why he was upon a cross, one that when he died, he knew who he was dying for, one that when he died, he accomplished redemption, he paid the price, and therefore all those that are the heirs of promise, they are redeemed. He saved us from the wrath to come. I like to tell God's people where they were headed by nature. To hell. That's where you were headed by nature.
Amen.
Somebody says, I don't believe in hell.
Well,
if you don't believe in hell, you hadn't read the book.
Amen.
Some say, well, I believe in hell, but I want air conditioning. Men try to air condition it. Men try to remodel. Men try to. And it won't be lonely either down there. He saved us from the wrath to come. When the Lord Jesus Christ suffered upon the cross of Calvary, and He was forsaken of God, and He bare our sins in His own body upon the tree, and He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that perfect one, that righteous one, but that our sins were laid upon Him and charged to Him. He was made sin for us. That's why God forsook Him. He had to be forsaken, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God put it on our account. Not guilty of any crime. Brother, if that don't warm your heart tonight, if that doesn't cause your soul to quiver, that there was a man 2,000 years ago that stretched his hands upon a cross in voluntary obedience to his God. The only way he could enter back into his glory, the only way he could redeem his people, was to die upon that tree. And he bare in his own body that curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. He took my place and he took your place and every heir promises place upon that tree. He suffered the equivalent of hell in his soul. We see the outward suffering in his body. But I doubt if we've ever dug into the depth of the soul suffering of our Savior. The soul suffering of Jesus upon the cross. And it was for my sins. It was for your sins that He died. He totally removed our sins, never to be remembered against us anymore. And God said, justified. Justified. There's one thing to pardon and another thing to justify. There won't be pardon sinners in heaven. Justified. Guilt totally removed. Washed holy, without spot and without wrinkle. I believe that's a state. Church of Jesus Christ, you can't live without that, and the church can't move forward without that.
Amen.
Brother, take me to the cross sometime.
Yeah.
I want to hear about it. Yeah. I want to hear about the Prince of Life. I want to hear about the royal sufferer. I want to hear about the price. I want to hear about what He endured. And then they laid Him in a sepulcher. But He arose from the dead.
Amen.
Conquered death. That's a stake, isn't it?
Amen.
A resurrected Christ. If we come tonight and I couldn't tell you about a resurrected Christ, you might as well go home. Our preaching's vain. Our faith is vain. And you're yet in your sins. He arose from the dead. And there's a lot of mysteries in that. He arose from the dead. He went in on this side and He came out on the other. He's the only one that has ever done that and conquered death. He swallowed up death in victory. He took that monster and he conquered it. He destroyed it for His people. He arose from the dead. And He appeared to His disciples. He appeared to them. He says, here I am. Behold my hands. Look at them. This is what it took. This is the price. Thrust your hand into my side. The hole's there. Look at my feet. But the mystery about this, I believe that when he got up glorified.
Amen.
He ate with them, but he didn't have to. But he proved that it's me. He proved to them, reassuring them that I'm alive. And he revived them. People talk about revival. That revives me. To hear about the risen Lord. Not, he didn't stay upon this earth. He left. He left. And he took them out as far as Bethany. And they saw him. He started ascending up. Somebody says, where'd he go? He went up. I don't know. Maybe he went north, maybe. Reckon? North? I don't know. I think he went north. That's just what I quoted, isn't it? The sides of the north. But he disappeared out of their sight. A cloud received him out of their sight. But it wasn't long till he sent two ambassadors or men in white apparel. Said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus whom ye have seen go up into heaven shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. I believe that the resurrection is a stake.
Amen.
And all these cords, I don't have time tonight to get into these cords, but the cords of sovereign love and mercy wrapped up in all this, centered in all the teachings of the Bible, is Jesus Christ. If you preach election, you preach Christ. If you preach predestinating grace, you preach Christ. If you preach crucifixion, you preach Christ. If you preach calling, you preach Christ. If you preach the resurrection, you preach Christ. If you preach the second personal coming, you preach Christ, because He's coming again. And I'm looking forward to that time. I'm anticipating His coming, and I don't think it'll be real long. I don't think it's far off. I believe that we're living in the last of the last days. If you really want to know what I believe about it, I believe that we're nearing the end. Thank God. Somebody says, that sounds gloomy to me. No, He's coming. But there's going to be a falling away before that day comes. I believe that the day, I don't know, I believe it's began, the falling away. But He'll not come. The day will not come until there will be a falling away first. Oh, somebody says, that seems awful dark. But the Lord is nigh. He is near. But His coming, He shall come. And when He comes, He's going to take His church out of this world. All of the heirs of promise are anticipating His coming. When you come to the house of God, you're looking upon something that is far beyond this sphere. It is far beyond this world. When a man of God stands up to preach the gospel, he needs to take the minds of God's people off of this old world and center them upon Christ. I'll tell you what, I know there's a lot of evil in this world. I know there's wickedness, and I know those things need to be set forth. But fret not yourself with evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You don't need to be overly alarmed. You don't need to be paralyzed with fear because that we're moving this old dark world. Jesus is coming. And when He comes, He's going to take His church out of this world. The kingdom will be delivered up, not brought down. Peter said that there will be a new heavens and a new earth. I can't explain that. If God wants to make a new heavens and a new earth, He can do it. He created a world out of nothing. He can do it. I can't explain that. But I'm looking for that day when the Lord Jesus shall return
And that if I'm alive or if I'm dead, it won't make any difference. If I'm dead, He'll resurrect His saints at His coming. When He descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The bodies that are asleep in the earth, and those bodies are not like they are when you put them in the casket and lower them in the earth. They go back to the dust of the earth. But I'll tell you one who knows the very dust of the earth that composed your very body, and that's the God who made you. David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. This God knows where you are. There may not be a marker to denote the place where they put you, and it won't be long till people are going to forget about you. Through the generation, that's how important you are in this old world. People are going to forget about you. But there's one not going to forget, and that's God. He's not going to forget where you are. And He's going to put you back together. And you're going to be immortal and reunite that spirit, that person, that man, new man that lived in you. He's going to put it all back together. And if you're... He's going to resurrect His people that are dead, that are asleep in Christ, and He's going to change those that are His in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You say, how fast is that? Well, the message that is sent from the brain that you bat your eye is going to be faster. Isn't that right? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'm looking for Him, aren't you? For that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And when He comes, all of His family are going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. There won't be any missing. All He loved, elected, predetermined to live with Him, they're going to be there. All He died for, He'll call. Regenerate, they'll be born of His Spirit, and there won't be any parts missing. I think about those that never had a sound mind in this world, mentally retarded. I think about those people that never had arms or legs. I think about those people. I think about them. Those that were maimed, those that were blind all the days of their life, never saw the light of a day. I think about those people. But I'll tell you what, they're going to see when Jesus comes. They're going to have arms and legs when He comes. And I want to tell you something else. If your family is in the family of God, you're going to see them again. You're going to praise God. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but I'll guarantee you this, I'm going to know it's going to be me when I get on the other side, and you're going to know it'll be you. And if I knew you, don't you think I'll have a lot more knowledge in heaven? Somebody says, well, it just doesn't seem that it could be that way. Well, you're going to see everything as Christ sees it, because you'll be conformed to His image. You'll have a holy nature, free from sin and carnality. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. I'd like to get into some practical aspects, but I don't have time. But just look upon Zion, and I'll tell you what, it'll comfort your heart. Not only look upon her, but walk about her. Take a tour of these wonderful principles. I'll tell you what, they hold the church up. The church ever gets off from these, she's gone. She'll lose her identity. Of course, the practice. But I don't have time. May God bless you. My prayer.